Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us sing from Psalter 100, the stanzas 1 and 4. Psalter 100, 1 and 4. We shall now first listen to God's holy law. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Our scripture reading is from the book of Numbers, chapter 13, beginning at verse 26, and we read through the 10th verse of chapter 14. Numbers 13, verse 26. And after our scripture reading, we sing from Psalter 2, 13, the stanzas 12 and 13. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel and to the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the man that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel.
Thank you.
God's word. Our text is from the book of Numbers, chapter 14, verse 24. Numbers 14, verse 24, where we read, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it." We will first ask the Lord for his blessing. O merciful and gracious God, in the morning of this thy day we may all come together in this place of worship, and we together may also come before thy holy countenance. Lord, that already is a great privilege, that we may come to listen to thy word, but that we may also approach thy holy throne to bring our petitions before thee. These two things are already two undeserved mercies, and so there are many more undeserved mercies which we yet may receive. Our health, our very life, our being, and the continual care of the Lord for our daily life and for all the things we stand in need of. Oh Lord, there are so many things in which thou provest that thou art a good and gracious God, a God of compassion, a kind God. But particularly the fact that we may still listen to thy word, and that we also may come to the throne of grace, these two things are particular blessings, very rich privileges. And yet we must confess, Lord, that we so often and by nature not at all, we appreciate these blessings. We so often are inclined to take them for granted. We so often do not truly esteem and not truly understand the greatness of these things. And by nature, as long as our heart is closed and as long as we walk in the ways of our own choice, as long as thy grace has no preciousness unto us, and as long as we have not seen any of our wickedness and our terrible lostness, as long as we are strangers to our own heart and strangers to thy grace and strangers to the Lord, as long as we are unrenewed and unconverted, O Lord, what does it mean to us then to have thy word? And what does it mean to us to be able to come unto the throne of grace? We may keep up some forms, we may read thy word, and we may come to listen to the preaching of it, and we may also have it as an adopted custom in our lives to pray and to seek the Lord's face, but it's nothing but form and it's only formality, it's only outward, and there is no heart, there is no real soul, there is no life in it. But Lord, we pray that we may now all learn to truly appreciate the gift of the word, and that we may truly understand what a great blessing it is that thou dost invite sinners to come before the throne of grace, and that thou dost tell them that they may come with boldness even. O Lord, we through thy Spirit must be instructed in these things. We through thy Spirit must begin to see the value and the preciousness, the riches of the gospel, and our hearts need to be prepared to well receive the gospel. And so the same Spirit must also make us praying people, must pour out that desire in our souls to commune with Thee. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of supplication, is the only one able to teach us to flee unto the throne of grace and to bring our needs before the Lord. Lord, and through Thy Spirit, teach us to listen to Thy word. Through Thy Spirit, teach us to pray, to so listen and to so pray that it may be beneficial for our souls, that it may be a blessing also our assembly in this morning, and that the preaching of the gospel then may be received by us inwardly, and that, Lord, through Thy Spirit, there may be continually a silent prayer in our souls that Thou wilt indeed apply the word powerfully and efficaciously unto our hearts, to the end that we may receive the gospel as a good seed sown into a good and well-prepared soil. Lord, we ask Thee for the fulfillment of all our needs. Thou knowest our needs. Thou knowest them exactly. Thou knowest them perfectly, Lord. And there is nothing in our hearts, in our lives, nothing in our soul which can be hidden from Thee. Lord, also the desire in the heart of Thy children, that longing desire to again have communion with Thee, that longing desire that Thou again wilt speak unto their souls. Lord, Thou knowest also that desire, and we pray that Thou wilt fulfill it. And Thou knowest it also, Lord, if there is not such a desire in our souls, for that can be so too, that even in the life of Thy children things have become so dim, so dull, that there is not even a desire to have again a communion with Thee, O Lord. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt then again stir up that soul of Thy children, and that Thou again wilt create in them a feeling and a sense of their own misery, their own emptiness, so that they again may learn to cry out unto Thee, and so that room may be created for the fresh and the new tokens of Thy favor in their life. Lord, Thou knowest those who do not know Thee and who do not follow after Thee. We pray that Thou wilt change their hearts, that Thou wilt work by Thy Spirit converting those sinners, that they may be renewed by Thy almighty power, that a new heart may be created within their bosom, and that they may begin to understand how greatly they stand in need of Thy mercy, and that Thy grace is the only thing able to save them. Lord, we come unto Thee to ask Thee all these things, but we realize that we do not deserve any of them. Nevertheless, O Lord, wilt Thou be pleased to listen to us and to hear our prayer. We pray that Thou wilt be with those who could not attend for reason of sickness or otherwise. Lord, Thou knowest exactly what their circumstances are, and we pray that Thou wilt look upon them in the same favor as we pray that Thou wilt look upon us. Lord, we pray for Thy cause, Thy kingdom, Thy church in the midst of the world, for the servants sent by Thee, and for the people also today, Lord, who gather together round about Thy word. May the gathering of Thy people be blessed by Thy almighty power, and wilt Thou strengthen Thy children in the faith, and wilt Thou also convert sinners unto Thee. Lord, wilt Thou so look upon all what is done to extend Thy kingdom over the length and the breadth of this world. And we must confess, Lord, that all the human efforts and attempts are only feeble and very weak, and there is much lacking in it, in the preaching and in what is done to spread the gospel. Lord, there is also on the part of Thy people much faithlessness. There is much which is not according with thy holiness, there is much zeal lacking, and so there are many more things lacking, and thy church can certainly not be said to be a lively church everywhere and under all circumstances. There is much deadness, O Lord, there is much worldly mindedness, and there is so little spirituality and vitality. O God, be pleased to send thy Spirit, to send forth thy light and thy truth, that they may lead us in our personal life, but also as a church and as churches, and that again the preaching may be endued with power from on high, and that again thy name, O Lord Jesus, may be lifted up on high, so that sinners may hear and see and believe. O then, Lord, give us a rich measure of thy grace and of thy Spirit, to the end that thy church may be a living witness in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Lord, we pray for our own churches, for our own denomination. We may humbly thank thee that we were able to conduct our synod meetings in the past week, and that we may also acknowledge thee, Lord, for giving us harmony and unity also to experience at our meetings, though we had to reach certain difficult decisions, and it was not always easy to reach those decisions, Lord, yet thou hast given us that we could do so in harmony and in oneness of opinion and mind. We ask thee, Lord, that thou wilt bless all what is done, and that thou wilt bless all what will be done also in the days and in the weeks and in the months to come. And may it all be blessed to our people, and also to thy, and may it all be used in thy hands to glorify thy name. Lord, we pray for the Reverends Bilkes and Pronk, who are at the moment in the Netherlands and who will travel to South Africa by tomorrow. Oh Lord, we pray that thou wilt conduct them on their journeys, and that thou wilt also bless them in their mission in South Africa, and that all may be well, and that also their journey, their mission may be beneficial for the mission work. We pray for our missionary and for his helpers, and we pray for Mary Overduin, and we ask thee, O Lord, that thou wilt also strengthen them, and that thou wilt look upon them in thy grace, giving them all what they stand in need of. Also in their loneliness sometimes, grant them that they on there, the place where they have been placed, may experience that thou art nigh unto all those who call on thee in truth. Lord, wilt thou so hear us, not because we deserve so, but for Jesus' sake, and for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. We will now sing from Psalter 204, all stanzas. 204, all stanzas. In our text we read about Caleb, and Caleb was one of the 12 spies, those 12 men sent out by Moses to search out the land of Canaan. When the people of Israel had come to the borders of the promised land and were about to make a beginning with the conquest of that land, they first sent out those 12 spies to, through them, be better informed about the condition of the land and the strength of the enemies. And after they have done their work, they return to Moses and to the congregation of Israel to report about their findings. And as far as the facts are concerned, those 12 spies are all in agreement. They all testify to the truth that the land is a good land, the land flowing with milk and honey. And they have also brought some of the fruits of the land, and they can show the grapes and some other fruits. And furthermore, they all agree when they say that the cities, the cities of that land are fortified, walled, and that they are really strongholds. They also agree when it comes to the point that the inhabitants of the land of Canaan are very strong people, that there are even giants among them, the sons of Anak. But then there comes a great difference in their report. For in the conclusions they differ greatly. 10 of them say that it must be considered to be an impossible thing to capture that land. And an absolutely impossible thing it is to defeat such mighty adversaries and to capture such fortified cities. And 10 of the spies advise the people to not even try, to not even make an attempt to capture Canaan. Though 2 of the 12 stand boldly forward. The one is Joshua, the other is Caleb. And Caleb says, "Let us go up at once, for we are well able to overcome." And then both say, "The Lord is with us, fear them not." And it is in connection with this faithful testimony given by both Joshua and Caleb that the Lord says in our text, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it." Caleb. That's not a nice name, for that name means dog. Now, would you like to be called dog? And yet, if I may so say, a dog is not all badness. This is at least one of the virtues of many dogs, that a dog follows his master. And in this sense, Caleb is well named. For never a dog so followed his master as Caleb followed the Lord. And that proves that he, spiritually speaking, was not a dog. Spiritually speaking, he was a sheep. Sheep of the great shepherd of Israel. A sheep who follows the shepherd, as a disciple follows the master. It befits a sheep to follow. It befits a disciple to follow. And so Caleb followed. The Lord was leading in the way of knowledge, in the true way, and Caleb followed. And a particular aspect of the following of Caleb was that he did it fully. The Lord says, he hath followed me fully. Now that aspect is worthy of duly consideration. And we ask this morning, what does it mean to follow the Lord fully? It means in the first place, I believe, that Caleb followed the Lord all the days of his life. For it must strike us that the Bible does not tell about Caleb following the Lord fully only here in this text. But we read a similar expression in the book of Joshua, chapter 14 and verse 14. Here in our text, Caleb is a man of approximately 40 years of age. And then it says that he follows the Lord fully. But in the book of Joshua, we read about the same man, but then he is at the age of 85 years. And then again it says that he followed the Lord wholly. So that proves that Caleb was not a man who served the Lord only by fits and starts for a time only. He followed him fully. He followed him all his days. He persevered. All those years he lived in the camp of the Israelites, about all that time he followed the Lord, and he never consorted with the murmuring rebels. And when the time has come that he, as an old man of 85 years, may claim his inheritance in the land of Canaan, he is still a follower of the Lord. His life shows that that man has a constant heart. Now, this one thing is for sure, this cannot be said about all people. For there are so many people who do follow the Lord, but for a time only. There are some who begin to follow the Lord. And when they begin to follow the Lord, they make a great flame. But the fire and the flame soon expires. And they are certainly not like that miraculous bush in the days of Moses that burned without being consumed. And why was the bush not consumed? Because God was in it. And why is that so many people in their life first show a great fire and then the fire extinguishes? Because God is not in them. Remember Lot's wife. She fled out of Sodom. She was greatly alarmed. Angels had laid their hands upon her. She had heard the words of warning and she did flee for a time. But then she gave up and, looking back, she became a pillar of salt. Think of those Jews about whom we read in the Gospel according to John chapter 6. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They did follow the Lord Jesus for a season. And then they heard his gracious words and then they enjoyed hearing his words. But by and by, they were offended and went back. Think of the Galatians. It says about the Galatians that they received the Apostle Paul as an angel of God, and they gladly received the words spoken by the Apostle Paul, and they loved the Apostle so much that they would have plucked out their own eyes and given them to Paul. And yet they were soon removed from the gospel of Christ to another gospel. And Paul complains, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you?" And so there are who follow the Lord for a time only, not all their days, not constantly, for they decline, they go back, or they look back, or they turn to another gospel, they slacken their pace, they give over fighting against sin, they halt, they fall asleep. And that is a very sad thing, of course, and yet it does still happen. Are there not many who begin to follow the Lord, but who do not persevere? When they are laid on a sick bed, or when there is some bereavement in their life, then they take to their Bible and they begin to weep and to pray, but the world comes back upon them and temptations come and old friends come and they go back. There are people who for a time seem to be serious, seem to be greatly concerned even. There are people who can be called promising people. And there seem to be signs of the fear of the Lord in their life, signs of spiritual activities. And they show an interest in the things of the Bible. They are eager to become active in the church, and the divine things appear to be great and precious in their eyes. But where are they now? What happened to them that they no longer follow the Lord? Well, they did not continue in His Word. By the power of God through faith unto salvation, God in His grace gave him the gift of constancy. And how brightly this man shines when he is left alone, faithful among the faithless. He is constant. He is a man with roots, so to say. And he holds firm upon his God. And all his days he follows his God. But these words do not only indicate that Caleb follows the Lord all his days. They also mean that he followed the Lord with all his heart. See, in his following, his heart was in the work. Caleb was sincere. Caleb was not a hypocrite. He was not a man with an outward show only. No, no, he followed the Lord with his heart. You want proof of this? Then again, look at him and Joshua when they both clearly state that they disagree with what the other spies say to the people. They dare to stand forth alone. They dare to declare that they are of a different opinion. And they dare to bear testimony that God is faithful. We do not know to what jeers and jests they have been exposed, but this is for sure, it did require courage from these two men to stand alone and to declare in flat contradiction to the opinion of the majority, "Let us go up. We are well able to possess the land." It did require courage to stand up amidst the insults and the jeers of the crowd, who even spoke of stoning them. But yet Caleb followed the Lord fully. He followed him under all circumstances. He followed him with his heart. And again we must say that there is a big difference between this man and so many Christians today. Are there not many who follow the Lord as long as the sun shines, but who no longer follow the Lord in the storm? Are there not many to whom the semblance of religion is dearer than religion itself? They will do a lot to maintain the picture of religion and the outward name of religion, but the reality of religion is a quite different thing. In many churches you find
crosses of wood and crosses of stone and crosses of many more expensive things, but how few are the worshippers willing to take upon them the cross of Christ, denying themselves and so follow Christ? How many people stagger at the reproach, oh, as long as the sun shines, as long as it is fashionable to be a Christian, then many will follow Christ. But when the gospel comes under attack, and when faith is in danger of being ridiculed, then many people begin to be offended. Why? Well, because they never followed the Lord with the heart. And that's why they are not willing to bear the reproach of Christ. But it is implied in being a Christian that we will bear the reproach of Christ. Does not God's own word itself say that we should go out to Christ without the camp bearing his reproach? And does not the Lord Jesus himself say, he that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me? And if we love our own flesh, if we love our own rest, if we love our own ease more than God and the gospel of God, we do not follow the Lord with all our heart. Caleb did follow the Lord with all his heart. And it was not an outward thing for him to follow God. It was not a matter of only a pious and a fine confession at a day full of sunshine. But he followed the Lord fully, also in the evil day. And he could stand in the evil day, when the people even threatened him to stone him. But I think we may even go a little further. Caleb did not only follow the Lord with the heart, but he followed the Lord with all his heart. I mean, in following the Lord, Caleb had an undivided heart. What does that mean? It means that Caleb took the Lord's commandments as he found them. And he obeyed them without picking and choosing. Caleb did not say, well, all right, I will perform this duty, but sorry, I must neglect that one. Caleb did not say, well, I will be faithful to the Lord upon this point, but the other point must be left out unto another day. No, that is not what Caleb said or thought. Caleb was, of course, ready to search the land and to carry the clusters of grapes and the other precious fruits of the land of Canaan, and he was willing to bring them to Moses and to Israel, to show them to Moses and Israel. He was willing to do that job. He was willing to perform that duty, but he was also willing to fight the giants in Canaan. He did not only gladly perform the sweet duties, and he was not only ready for pleasant exercises, and he was not only looking for spiritual engagements which brought him peace and joy, but he was also ready to fight against the enemies of the Lord and to defend the cause of the Lord against God's adversaries. He was ready to bear reproach as well as he was ready to carry the clusters. He was ready to stand forth alone. And his obedience was not a partial one. He followed the Lord fully with all his heart. And there is reason to fear that many a Christian does not resemble Caleb in this respect. I do not deny that there is a following of the Lord, but the question is it a following with all the heart? With all the heart, with the undivided heart? Or do we follow the Lord only when it pleases us, when it is convenient, when it is nice and sweet? Do we follow the Lord only in some of his commandments, while we leave out many other commandments? Do we pick and choose what is of our liking to forget about the rest? Do we, to say it in the New Testament expression, do we reflect the image of Christ in every part? Or do we have inconsistencies? I believe we do have those inconsistencies. The true Christian should indeed, as I said, reflect the image of Christ. Now also this aspect of the image of Christ, namely his self-denial. And here many people have grave inconsistencies. Christ denied himself, but we are not willing to do that. We are not willing to do that. We are looking, at least many, many Christians are looking only for their own comfort and their own ease before they look for something else. We should reflect the image of Christ, also this aspect of the image of Christ, namely his lowliness, his humiliation. The Bible urges us, Philippians 2, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. And what was the mind which was in Christ Jesus? Well, Paul says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in the likeness of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let this mind be in you. Follow the Lord fully also in the way of his humiliation. And therefore it is not possible for a Christian to be proud-hearted, to have his heart so high. And yet there are so many who boast themselves of being different, if not better than others. Some are proud of having knowledge, some are proud of what they have attained to, some are proud of their endeavors and so on. But that's not following the Lord fully. There are Christians who do not follow the Lord fully because they do not follow him in his love. You know, all what Christ said and all what Christ did it out of love, and he said it out of love. He descended out of heaven because he loved sinners. He lied in the manger out of love. He lived a life of sinful obedience out of love. He died on the cross out of love. But so many who confess his name and so many who claim to be Christians do not follow him in his love, and they do not have any compassion upon sinners, and they can sit at ease in their houses and see a world perish for lack of knowledge, and they do not move one finger. Caleb followed the Lord with all his heart. Is that what can be said about us? Is that what is true of you, child of God? The Bible tells us that many of God's people do have their times of decay. Remember what Christ said to his church at Ephesus in Revelation 2. I have this against thee, he says, that thou hast left thy first love. About Solomon, the Bible says that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord. About King Asa, it is recorded that he did first what was good and right in the sight of the Lord, and yet he also suffered a sad decay, for when he was old, he was diseased in his feet, and then he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. He did not follow the Lord fully. Caleb did not follow the Lord fully. He had given himself away. He has given his heart away, and his understanding, and his will, and his affections, and his body, and all the members of his body, his eyes, and his tongue, and his hands, and his feet. And Caleb did not want to be his own proprietor anymore. He had but one desire, to be the Lord's, to be fully His, to belong to Him wholly. And it was His happiness to bear the image of the Lord, to be like Him in every part. It was His happiness to have the law of His Lord written upon His heart, and every commandment received its proper place in His soul. He was made willing to obey the Lord day and night. Now, and this congregation is a happy life. This is a blessed life. Have you come to see already the happiness and the blessedness of such a life? Would you be like Caleb? Has it become also the desire of your soul to follow the Lord with all your heart and all your days? Or are you still satisfied with a partial obedience? And do you think that in this way you can not only satisfy yourself, but also satisfy the Lord? If you are of this opinion, then you are deceived. You are deceiving yourself if you think that you can do enough and you only partially obey the Lord and follow the Lord once in a while and follow the Lord here and not follow Him there, and that the Lord yet will be satisfied with your obedience. If you think that you can so follow the Lord, you are completely wrong. That's not what God's word teaches us. Has the fear of the Lord been planted in your soul already? Then you must be able to say in uprightness of heart that it has become your desire to follow the Lord fully. Even if a Christian is not perfectly able to perform this following of the Lord fully, yet there has come a strong desire in his soul that the Lord through his Spirit may more and more enable him to follow the Lord fully. Now look again at Caleb. Why was it that he desired to follow the Lord fully? And what was it that made him able to do so? The text explains. He had another spirit with him. Another, that means he had a different spirit with him. A spirit different from the spirit of these 10 spies. What and who was that spirit? Well, you remember those 10 spies were led by their own spirit, or rather they were led by the evil spirit. It must be. They must have been inspired by the evil spirit, for what did they really and actually do? They made the people doubt. They made the people question God's promises. They sowed the seed of disbelief. Now, that is the work of the evil spirit, is it not? So these 10 spies were instruments of Satan. But Caleb, and it may be said about Joshua too, had another spirit with him. Not the evil spirit, but another, a different spirit. Not the evil spirit, but the good spirit. What was that spirit? I think we better write it with a capital S. For it is the Holy Spirit who dwelt with Caleb and who made him stand firm and testify to God's honor and trust God's promises and encourage the people to do the same. It was the Holy Spirit. And it was his work within Caleb. Oh, sure, Caleb had a courageous spirit as well. He had a bold, a noble, and heroic spirit, but that's not all and everything. The difference was not that Caleb was a hero and the 10 spies were cowards. No, the difference is this, that these ten spies were carnal men, and Caleb was a spiritual man. A man indwelt by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost raised him above the earthly fears. And the Spirit of God taught him to trust the Lord and the Word of God under all circumstances. And the Spirit of God enabled him to follow the Lord fully. What kind of spirit is this spirit? It's the spirit of faith. And that's why Caleb believed the promises of God. And that's why he knew those promises were true and reliable. What spirit is this spirit? It's the spirit of love. And therefore Caleb was taught to love the Lord, to love the Word of God, and so to follow the Lord in love fully. What spirit is this spirit? It's the spirit of zeal. And through this spirit of zeal, Caleb was enabled to be active in the work and the service of the Lord. But tell me, how did Caleb receive that spirit? How did he get it? It was given him. This spirit was a free gift from God. Why did the Lord give it to Caleb? For no other reason than the reason of God's sovereign and free grace. God was pleased to have his spirit dwell in Caleb. Not because Caleb was any better than the 10 spies or the rest of the Israelites. No, in and from himself he was no better, not at all. He was a sinner. No good dwelt in him, only evil. What then made the difference? God made the difference. He had set his love upon this man. He changed his heart. He gave him a new heart. He gave him the right spirit. He gave him his spirit. And so it was that Caleb was different. Because another spirit was with him. Not as the result of Caleb's faithfulness or piousness. Not as the result of Caleb having done anything to make himself worthy of God's good pleasure. Absolutely no. The only reason was that God delighted in Caleb, since he loved him eternally already. Do you follow the Lord fully? No. Why not? Because you are unconverted? Because your heart has never been renewed? Is that the reason? I know this is the reason with some of you. I know there are unconverted sinners in our midst, and they know it themselves too. Are you willing to admit it? Are you willing to confess that you are unrenewed? That your heart is still a heart of stone? Are you willing to confess and to admit that there is the spirit of the world within you? That your desires are after the world and the pleasures of the world? Are you willing to admit it? Are you willing to admit that the spirit of evil dwells within? Oh, you must finally be willing to admit these things. You must be willing, finally, to humble yourselves and to humbly repent. Bow at the feet of a just God and confess him your errors, your sins, your wrongdoings. Confess it all and sue for his pardon. Look up into the face of God's mercy. Admit that you have sinned against the holy God, but ask that same God to forgive your sins. Ask him that he may put that new, that right, that other spirit within you. Don't you see the desirability of that new and holy spirit within you? Long for it. Supplicate for it. There are, however, also people who are unconverted, and yet they themselves believe that they are not unconverted. They live under a delusion. Victims they are of their own imagination. their own deceitful imagination. Victims of a wrong understanding of the gospel. And though they believe they are converted and they are God's people, yet there apparently is not a different spirit, another spirit within them. They are as worldly as the worldlings are worldly. And they are without the Spirit of God. Not truly renewed, not truly reborn. And because there is a real danger of deluding and deceiving ourselves, God's truly converted people continually see reason to ask the Lord that He may keep them from that deception. God's true children are terribly afraid at times that they will be the victims of a self-made belief without having the Spirit of God. Do you pray that prayer for uprightness and truth? Uprightness and truth within? Oh, I hope we may all see how desirable it is to have that other spirit. And to by that other spirit be enabled to follow the Lord fully for such a life. But only such a life is a truly blessed life. Look at the concluding words of our text, where the Lord speaks a promise to Caleb. The Lord promises that He will bring Caleb into the land whereinto he went, as a spy, of course. The Lord also promises that his seed shall possess the land. So the first thing the Lord promises is that He will preserve Caleb's life. All the rest of the Israelites will die in the wilderness, but not Caleb. All the Israelites of 20 years and above, they must die. They will not see the promised land. They may not see the promised land. Only Joshua and Caleb will be spared. Caleb, who followed the Lord fully. Now the Lord fully cares for him. Caleb was willing to give his life for his God. And now the Lord gives him his life. So long that he may see the promised land. And apart from the fact that the Lord spares his life, the Lord also gives him vigor of life. So much vigor that Caleb, when he is at the age of 85 years, is still going strong and able to fight the giants and to so claim his own inheritance. The Lord blesses him with a longer, with a healthy life. The Lord blesses him with honor among his brethren. All the people die. Caleb lives. And Caleb becomes known among all the Israelites as the man who remained faithful with the Lord at a time when all the rest rebelled against God. God honors them who honor him. The Lord blesses him that he may inherit the land of Canaan and that he may also leave a blessing to his children. Caleb was blessed and his seed is blessed together with him. And he may scatter benedictions upon his offspring. Is it not a desirable thing to leave your children with godliness, which has a blessing, a promise of this life and the life which is to come? Is it not a desirable thing to be blessed by the Lord and to also be made a blessing so that your children be blessed through you? Oh, I know not all God-fearing people, not all who follow the Lord, not all who follow the Lord fully will have a long and healthy life as was given to Caleb. Not all will live to see their children blessed of the Lord. Yet, we may maintain that the life that follows the Lord fully is the only blessed and happy life. Every time we turn aside from following the Lord, we are providing misery for ourselves. But the true happiness is in self-surrender. It is in giving up the heart and our all and everything to the Lord. And this following the Lord fully is also the only way to die happily. If we would die the death of God's people, we must first live the life of God's people. And inconsistent Christians often have a painful deathbed. But those who follow the Lord fully may learn to say with Job, I know my Redeemer liveth. And with Paul, I am ready to be offered. What type of life do you prefer? Amen. We sing Psalter 415, stanza 6. 415, stanza 6. To Thee, O Lord, we come again at the close of this worship service to acknowledge Thee for being good and kind. Thou hast again given us Thy word and its preaching, and we pray that Thou wilt work through Thy Spirit upon our souls in such a way, Lord, that there may be that sincere desire to be people who may follow the Lord, not walk before the Lord, and not dispute with the Lord, but follow Him, and to follow Him fully all our days, and with all our heart. O Lord, we need Thy grace. We need Thy grace for the first time, but we need Thy grace again and again, and we need Thy grace continually. Thy children, Lord, though they have been enabled to choose the path of righteousness and to walk in that way, though they have been led by Thee to make the good choice, they yet are in need of the continuing operations of the Holy Spirit, of the other Spirit, the better Spirit, and so that they may be enabled to follow the Lord fully. O Lord, we confess there are so many inconsistencies, so many decays in the life of Thy children, and we can only feel ashamed for them. But Lord, will Thou, through Thy Spirit, make things change? And will Thou work upon the life and the heart of those who are unconverted and show them, Lord, that as long as we do not follow Thee, we follow the evil one. We follow the world, and the world lies in the wicked one. And if we take that route, we will end up in outer darkness. O Lord, make us all turn unto Thee in the way of repentance and conversion, to so confess our sins and plead Thy grace. Hear us, O Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 360, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. Our doxology is Psalter 315. Now, depart in peace and receive God's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.